Well, good morning, Plantation Community Church, and welcome to our message time. If you'll please take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. It's Hebrews chapter 11. We're continuing in our message series on growing in faith. And here's what we've learned so far. In week one, we learned that faith is being certain of what you do not see. Faith is being certain of what you do not see. And then in week two, we looked at creation and understanding the power of God's word. Last week, we looked at Abel and giving God the first portion. That's part of what faith is, giving God the first portion. And today, we're going to look at Enoch. Enoch and believing God's goodness. So we're in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 5 and 6. And let's read that together now. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. Well, Father God, as we look into your word this morning, I'm so excited, Lord. I love these verses. They have so much to teach us about faith and your goodness. Lord, just open our hearts to what your spirit would say to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, do you believe God's goodness? Do you believe God's goodness? Do you believe that God is good, that he loves you, that he is for you, that he is on your side? And I mean, do you really believe that, okay? Even when life seems to go against you, do you believe that God is for you? And the reason I ask that is that not everyone believes in God's goodness. Some people doubt God's goodness because they don't believe in God at all. They say, I don't see God, and therefore I don't believe in him. Well, remember, faith is being certain of realities that you do not see. And even though you cannot see God with your physical eyes, God is real and he is there. We talked about the evidence for a creator a couple weeks ago when we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And although we said that we understand the act of creation by faith, because once again, none of us was there to see it, the creation itself provides clear and concrete evidence for the existence of God the Creator. And then some people doubt God's goodness because they do not think that God is actively involved in the world he created. They believe God created the world, but then he sort of left it on its own, sort of like, you know, winding up a giant watch and then just leaving it there to wind down by itself. And they say, well, of course, there must be a God who created this all, but I don't believe that God has any interest or concern for us as people. And they figure that God is so big and beyond that he could not possibly care for us in any way, any more than we would perhaps for little ants scurrying across the ground. You know, they believe in God's existence, but they do not believe in God's active goodness to man. And then other people doubt God's goodness because of evil and suffering in the world. They look at evil and suffering and they say, if God was truly good, then he would not allow all this evil and suffering to take place. He would do something about it. Well, let me tell you, he has done something about it. He will do something about it. But, you know, for some of these people, it is the big picture of evil and suffering that bothers them. It's the wars and the famines, the earthquakes and diseases. And then for others, it's the problem of evil and suffering. It's immensely personal. They have experienced evil firsthand, or they have personally suffered in some deep way, and as a result, they have come to doubt the goodness of God. Well, believing God's goodness, okay, this is basic to what faith is all about. Now, many people say that they believe God is good, but they do not live as if it were true. Remember, one of our principles of faith that we've learned is that true faith always expresses itself in action. So unless we live as though God were really good, then that means we do not truly believe it. And this is where Enoch comes in, okay? Enoch serves as an example of someone who truly believed God's goodness, and therefore he lived it out in his life. So we're going to take a closer look at Enoch now and what the Bible tells us about his faith and then how that applies to us today. First of all, the Bible tells us that by faith, Enoch went straight to heaven without dying. How cool is that? By faith, Enoch went straight to heaven without dying. We read this in Hebrews 11:5. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. And this tells us about two things, okay? Two things that Enoch accomplished by his faith. Enoch did not experience death. And then number two, God took Enoch directly from this life into heaven. So first of all, Enoch did not experience death. Now, we first read about Enoch back in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5. So let's turn back there now. In Genesis 5, the whole chapter is really giving us the genealogical line stretching from Adam all the way to Noah. From Adam to Noah, Enoch is listed as the seventh generation from Adam. So that would make him Adam's great, 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 great grandson. Okay, that's four greats. Okay, seventh generation. Verses 21 through 24 of Genesis 5 tells us about Enoch's place in the genealogy. So let's take a look at those verses now. Genesis 5, 21 to 24. It says this, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Now, as you read through this whole genealogy in Genesis chapter 5, you'll find that Enoch's account, out of all of the other people in the genealogy, his account is unique for a number of reasons. And you know, if you look at all the other persons named in the genealogy, you will notice that the genealogy follows a set pattern for each person. And here's how the pattern goes. First, we read the person's name and how many years they lived before they had the child who's named next in the genealogy. Then we read how many years the person lived after they had the child who is named next in the genealogy. We read that they had other sons and daughters. And then finally we come to this phrase, altogether, so-and-so lived so many years and then he died. It is the exact same pattern for every single person in the genealogy except for Enoch. And when you come to Enoch, you find two very important differences from all the other persons listed in the genealogy. One of them is this mysterious phrase at the end of verse 24, then he was no more because God took him away. And then the second difference is the phrase Enoch walked with God. Now, we're going to look at that second one a little bit later. But for right now, I want us to concentrate on this one phrase at the end of verse 24, then he was no more because God took him away. Now, according to the pattern in the rest of the genealogy, here's how we would expect this final phrase to read. It should read this way. Altogether, Enoch lived so many years, and then he died. Instead, we get, Enoch was no more because God took him away. And the implication here is that Enoch never suffered physical death. And Hebrews 11:5 confirms this for us. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Now that is an amazing accomplishment, okay, that warrants a closer look because we know that death is the common lot for all of us, right? We even have a saying, don't we, that two things are inevitable, death and taxes. Makes you wonder if Enoch ever paid any taxes. You know, who knows, right? But everyone dies, right? Everyone dies, some sooner than others. But everyone dies. Now, we know from the Bible the reason everyone dies is because everyone sins, right? Book of Romans in the New Testament is really clear about this. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Everyone sins. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death," right? Everyone sins. The wages of sin is death. Romans 5:12 says, "Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men." Why? Because all sinned. Well, if everyone sins, okay, and if everyone who sins dies, then why didn't Enoch die, right? Why didn't Enoch die? Was it because Enoch never sinned? No, because, once again, everyone sins. The only person who walked this earth who never sinned was Jesus Christ. And even Jesus experienced death, right? So now think about it. Why would Jesus, who never sinned, experience death, while Enoch, who did sin, did not experience death? What's up with that? And the answer, of course, is this, is that Jesus did not have to die. Jesus was sinless, and therefore Jesus was not under the curse of death. But Jesus willingly took our sins upon himself, and he chose to die in order to save you and me. Enoch was a sinner like all other men, and therefore Enoch was under the curse of death. If God had not taken him, Enoch would most assuredly have died for his sin. But by his extraordinary faith, Enoch did not experience physical death. That's the first thing he accomplished by faith. Enoch did not experience death. That's amazing. And then the second thing that Enoch accomplished by his faith was this. God took Enoch directly from this life into heaven. God took Enoch directly from this life into heaven. Hebrews 11:5 says this, "By faith Enoch was taken from this life. He could not be found because God had taken him away." It is one thing to be spared the experience of death, but it is another to go directly from this life into heaven. And the word "taken" here in verse 5, it's a word that means to transfer or to change. It refers to Enoch being transferred directly from earth to heaven without ever dying. Now, there's only one other person in the Bible who never died, and that was the prophet Elijah. Elijah, like Enoch, was also taken directly from this life into heaven. The book of 2 Kings describes for us how God took Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. And 2 Kings uses the exact same word for "took" as we find here in Genesis 5, where it says God took Enoch away. It's a word which means to seize or to snatch away. And very interesting, we find a similar word in the New Testament, which describes the coming rapture of the church. We read this in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. It says, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And that word "caught up" in 1 Thessalonians also means what? To seize or to snatch away. Now, the Latin Vulgate, the Latin translation of the Bible, translated this phrase "caught up" or "snatched away." And they've translated it with the Latin word "rapio," "rapio." And the Latin word "rapio" is the word from which we get our English word "rapture," "rapture," "rapio," "rapture." So you ask the question, were Enoch and Elijah then, were they both raptured? And yeah, in a sense they were. They were both caught up directly to heaven without ever experiencing death. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 teaches that those of us who are still alive when Christ returns, that we also will be raptured. We also will be caught up. We also will be taken directly from earth without ever experiencing death. And so the taking of Enoch and Elijah into heaven foreshadows this great event that will take place at the second coming of Christ. Hebrews 11:5 tells us that Enoch could not be found because God had taken him away. And the tense of that verb there, "could not be found," in the original language, it implies, it indicates that the people looked for him over a period of time, but they could not find him. Apparently one day Enoch was there, and then suddenly he wasn't. He was gone. And so they just kept looking for him everywhere, but they couldn't find him. You know, the same thing happened to Elijah after he was taken up to heaven. The Bible tells us that 50 men searched for Elijah for 3 days, but they couldn't find him either. Why? Because the Lord had taken him away. And so by faith, Enoch accomplished these two amazing things. He did not experience death, and God took him directly from this life into heaven. By faith, Enoch went straight to heaven without dying. That's the first thing we learn about Enoch and his faith. So how do we know that these things happened to Enoch because of his faith? How do we know that God didn't do this for some other reason? We know that Enoch had faith because he was commended as one who pleased God. We know that Enoch had faith. Why? Because he was commended as one who pleased God. I look at Hebrews 11 again. Now, the second part of verse 5 leading into the first part of verse 6 says this: for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, this is the third time in our chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, that we've come across this word, commended. We saw it first in verse 2, where the Old Testament believers were commended for their faith. And then we saw it in verse 4 last week, where Abel was commended as a righteous man for his faith. Now, here in verse 5, Enoch is commended as one who pleased God. We're going to find it again in verse 39 at the end of the chapter. It really is a summary statement of all the people listed in the chapter. And Hebrews 11:39 says that these were all commended for their faith. And so we know that Enoch had faith. Why? Because he was commended as one who pleased God. And the word pleased here means to be well-pleasing or acceptable. And you might wonder, well, where in the Bible are we told that Enoch pleased God? Well, remember back in Genesis 5, we said that there were two important differences between Enoch's genealogy and all the other persons listed in the genealogy. We already looked at the first difference, that all the other persons died, but God took Enoch away. And we said that the second difference has to do with this phrase, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. All the other genealogies say this. They say, so-and-so lived so many years and had other sons and daughters. But Genesis 5:22 says this: Enoch walked with God so many years and had other sons and daughters. And then verse 24 repeats the phrase for emphasis: Enoch walked with God. And the book of Genesis makes it very clear this is the reason why God took Enoch directly from this life into heaven. If Enoch had not walked with God, he would certainly not have been spared from death. Genesis 5 tells us that Enoch walked with God, but Hebrews 11 says that Enoch pleased God, right? Genesis, walked with God. Hebrews, pleased God. Different words, but you know, in context, they mean the exact same thing. Back in the time of Christ, there was a Greek translation of the Old Testament. It was called the Septuagint. And the Septuagint actually translates this Hebrew phrase in Genesis. When they're translating the book of Genesis, they translate it as Enoch pleased God. Instead of Enoch walked with God, they say Enoch pleased God, because it means the same thing. Hebrews 11 is simply picking up on the Septuagint's translation here. You might wonder, how is walking with God the same thing as pleasing God? Well, think about it. Walking with someone implies what? It implies agreement. It implies relationship. It implies a common direction. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 in the Old Testament asks the question, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? In other words, you don't walk with someone unless you are in agreement with them. If you're not in agreement, you don't walk with them. You walk away, right? You walk away. And so to walk with God means to agree with God. It means to be in relationship with God. It means to walk in God's ways, to follow alongside him. Think about the disciples, right, who walked with Jesus. They went wherever Jesus went. They followed his direction, not theirs. To walk with God is to go with God. to seek God's direction rather than yours, to trust that His way is best. And that, folks, is pleasing to God. Christianity is not a set of rules or regulations. It is a living relationship with a loving God. And you walk with Him day by day. Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. You know, only two men have ever entered heaven without dying. Enoch and Elijah. Just think how pleased God must have been with Enoch's life. Enoch walked with God, and therefore Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. Now Hebrews 11:6 goes on to say that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, the fact that Enoch was commended as one who pleased God is the proof or the demonstration of his faith. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so this is another vitally important principle concerning faith, that without faith, you cannot please God. In fact, it's impossible. You can't do it. And the word that's translated impossible here carries the idea of powerlessness. When it comes to pleasing God, you and I, we are powerless apart from faith. We cannot approach God on the basis of our works because our works are always tainted by sin. Our sinful nature affects everything we do. You know, even when we are at our best, our motives are mixed. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says this, that all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So even our most righteous acts, right? When we do them apart from faith, when we do them on our own apart from faith, even our most righteous acts are stained by sin. You and I have no capacity, we have no ability to please God apart from faith. Remember back in verse 2, we learned that the Old Testament believers were commended not for their works, right? But for their faith. We are saved by faith. And then we can only please God when we live by faith. And so we know that Enoch had faith. Why? Because he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And now we come to really one of the most important lessons about faith that you will ever learn. So much of your Christian life and growth depends on this one lesson that we're about to look at. Ready? Here we go. It's actually the title of today's message. Faith means believing God's goodness. Believing God's goodness. You can't always see it, right? You don't always understand it. But remember, faith is being certain of realities that you do not see. Faith is based on the Word of God. And God's Word tells us that God is good. God is good and He is only good. And faith means believing God's goodness. Now we just learned that it is impossible to please God without faith. You might wonder, well, why is it impossible? Why is faith necessary to please God? And we find our answer in the second half of verse 6 now. It says this, why is it impossible to please God without faith? Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You cannot please God without faith because in order to please Him, you must believe that He is good. And in order to believe that He is good, you must first believe that He is there, right? Faith means believing God's goodness. You must believe that God is there. And you must believe that God is good. You cannot please God if you doubt either His existence or His goodness. Let's take these one at a time. First, anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists. Now, folks, that is real basic faith, okay? That's faith 101, believing in God's existence, okay? That's where it begins. It makes sense. How can you come to God if you don't even believe in Him? You must believe that He exists in order to come to Him. And the word must in this verse, it's a word that means something that is logically necessary. You cannot come to something that is not there. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you doubt His very existence, then you're lacking the most basic faith of all, right? Now, in the original language, this verse literally reads this way. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He is. That He is. And this is really a rephrasing of God's words to Moses in the Old Testament. God's words to Moses from the burning bush, right? When Moses asked God to reveal His name, what did God say to Moses? God said this, Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God is the great I am. He alone is self-existence. We depend on God for our own life, right? We are because God is. God alone has life in Himself. God simply is. He just is. And anyone who comes to God must believe that He is. God says this in Isaiah 46, verse 9. He says, I am God and there is no other. And to put this just as simply as possible, in order to come to God, you must believe that God is indeed God, that He is who He says He is, that He alone is God, that there is no other God. It's important to note here that God Himself is the object of our faith. True biblical faith is not faith in yourself or in anyone else or in some kind of impersonal fate out there, but it is faith in the one true God of Scripture and the universe. So that's the first truth in this part of verse 6. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists. And then Hebrews 11:6 continues. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And so it is not enough just to believe that God exists. Most people do, right? But you must also believe God's goodness. You must believe that God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. Now, this also is real basic faith, okay? If believing that God exists is faith 101, right? Then believing that God is good, that's faith 102. You must think worthy thoughts of God. You will never be disappointed when you seek God, because God actively rewards those who earnestly seek Him. What does it mean to seek God earnestly? We've already seen that to seek God means to follow after Him, to walk with God, right? Even as Enoch walked with God. And to seek earnestly means that you do that carefully, diligently, eagerly. You know, we all seek after whatever we want the most in life, right? We all seek after whatever we believe to be the best. Well, true biblical faith believes in the ultimate goodness of God. Faith that is pleasing to God believes that nothing else compares with God and His goodness. That God is the ultimate good in the universe. He is the supreme object of desire. And so faith means you earnestly seek Him first. And as the Scriptures promise us, when you seek God, you will find Him. Once again, Enoch is our example here. Enoch walked with God. To walk with God means to follow God, to live every step of your life in conscious dependence and trust in God, learning to walk in His ways, seeking to live in obedience to His commands. When you walk with God, you do what? You demonstrate your faith. You show that you believe in God's goodness. You believe God's way is good and right. Now, on the other hand, right, those who ignore God, those who disobey God or rebel against God, they show that they do not really believe in God's goodness. They either do not believe that God exists, or they do not believe that he rewards those who seek him. They choose their way over God's way. Why? Because they believe. That's their faith. They believe that their way is going to work out better in the end. They view God, in the words of J.B. Phillips, as some cosmic killjoy in the sky who's just out to ruin all their fun. They do not believe God's goodness. Every time you choose sin instead of obedience, you show a lack of faith in God's goodness. It shows you lack faith that God's way is good and right, and that God has his very best in store for you. You lack faith that choosing God's way will be better for you in the long run, because God rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, living by faith means believing God's goodness. We believe that God is good and loving toward us. We believe that God is on our side. We believe that God's commands are meant for our good. We believe that we will be better off going God's way than our own way. And we put our faith into action when we walk with God, even as Enoch walked with God. Faith means believing God's goodness. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. God has many wonderful rewards in store for you when you truly believe his goodness, when you seek him first in your life. Nothing, okay? Nothing is better in this life than walking with God day by day. And of course, the ultimate reward for those who live by faith is eternal life with God. And you may not bypass death as Enoch and Elijah did. Unless you are still alive when Christ returns, then yes, you will experience death. But if your faith is in Christ, then you need not have any fear of death. Christ has conquered death. And if you are in Christ, then death will simply usher you into God's presence. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ. What another beautiful, what an excellent way to describe what it means to walk with God. When you can sum up your whole life, right, with just one word, Christ. What's your life about? What do you stand for? What motivates you? What's your life all about? Christ. When you can do that, that shows you truly do believe God's goodness and that you are truly walking with him. And then, just like Enoch, God will also bring you to heaven, whether through death and resurrection or through the rapture at Christ's return. And once you see God in heaven, once you see God, you will never doubt God's goodness again. Will you pray with me? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these amazing verses. They have so much to teach us about our faith and how we need to grow in our faith and live out our faith with you day by day. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh Lord, you are good. You're not only good, you're better and you're best. You're all that we could ever desire. And Lord, help us to put our faith in you, and to believe your goodness over the lies of this world, over the temptations and desires of this world, that you are good, that you are God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.